The good news of Jesus Christ according to Matthew chapter 11, beginning at verse 15. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Whoever has ears, let them hear. To what can I compare this generation? They are like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling out to others, "We played the pipe for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn." For John came, neither eating nor drinking, and they say, "He has a demon." The Son of Man came, eating and drinking, and they say, "Here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners." But wisdom is proved right by her deeds. Then Jesus began to denounce the towns in which most of his miracles had been performed, because they did not repent. "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted to the heavens? No, you will go down to Hades. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. But I tell you that it will be more bearable for Sodom on the day of judgment than for you." At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Grab your Bibles and open up, if you will, to Matthew chapter 11. That's where we're going to be focusing on this morning, and particularly verses 15 to 30 of Matthew chapter 11. Now, I forgot to mention earlier on, do you remember last week we said that everyone seems to sit in the same places each week? Who deliberately sat on the other side? The Bryans. I can see you guys have moved from there to there. Who else has moved? That's okay. That's Charmaine, Dorothy, because you were normally here. Well done for the few of you. And that's right. And Anne as well. Good job. Well, that's a challenge each week, okay? That's your challenge. Sit in a different spot and get to know better the person next to you, your brother or sister. Right. So now we've been looking at Matthew chapters 10 and 11, and really it's been around the questions about discipleship, around what it means to follow Jesus, and today is no exception. Now, last week I said to you that if I had to summarize the message in a sentence, it would be, following Jesus is hard. That's right, most of you are here, hopefully, thank you. Now, today, Matthew gives us a window into a conversation that Jesus had with his disciples a little while later, and it is fascinating. And we see it there in verses 15 to 30. And if I had to summarize the message in a sentence today, it would be, following Jesus is easy. That's what Jesus said. Look at verse 28 to 30. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." But what does he mean? It's a good question. How can it ever be easy following Jesus? Well, there are three points in the passage we're going to look at that answer this for us. The first one is in verses 15 to 19. Have a look there. And it's this: lay down the burden of your cynicism and entitlement. Second, verses 20 to 27. Jesus, like a child, lay down your pride and self-sufficiency. And then finally, verse 28, recognize your spiritual restlessness. So let's look at those three things together. Because when we do, when we lay down those burdens, then we will come to Jesus and we will follow him and we'll experience the rest that Jesus gives, the joy of salvation. It is light and it is easy. Now, before we move into the passage, can I ask you this morning, as you just take a step back and just pause for a second, how is your relationship with God today? What is your relationship with Jesus like? Would you say that it is, in fact, restful, peaceful? Do you know spiritual satisfaction? Do you know the light and easy yoke of following Jesus in obedience and trust? Do you know the joy of your salvation? Or is your life more characterized by frustration with the Lord? It's conflicted, anxious, even angry. What is it for you this morning? I do hope that this passage today will be spiritual food and water for our souls. So let's look at the first one then. Following Jesus is easy when, firstly, we lay down our cynicism and our entitlement. Look at verses 15 to 19. The parable that Jesus tells there in verses 16 and 17 describe the entitled and cynical spirit of those who were rejecting him. Verse 16, to what can I compare this generation? They're like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling out to others, we played the pipe for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not mourn. When Jesus compares them here to children in the marketplace calling out in this way, no, we played the pipe, you didn't dance. This kind of has a marriage theme in view. We sang a dirge and you didn't mourn. That has more of a funeral picture in mind. He's saying that people are expecting Jesus and John to play their game, to dance to their tune. And because they won't, they reject them. Jesus and John aren't conforming to their expectations. We did this for you and you didn't. We did this and you didn't. So that's the attitude. They're insisting on their own way, like children tend to do. It's a bit like, we're going to play this game in this way. Otherwise, I'm not playing anymore. This is the attitude that Jesus is putting his finger on when it comes to how some people respond to Jesus. You're not dancing to my tune. And so they were cynical, not only entitled, but also cynical. Cynicism is a belief that people are only interested in themselves and that their motives are always insincere. And so they believed evil about Jesus and John's motives, as Jesus says there. Because John didn't drink alcohol and certain foods, they accused him of being demon-possessed. Because Jesus didn't have those restrictions about alcohol and food, they accused him of being a glutton and a drunkard. And so when people are cynical and entitled, knowing Jesus is not easy. It's stressful. It's conflicting. Particularly in the situation here, it brings rejection of Jesus. Let's look at the second one. Following Jesus is easy when, secondly, we will receive him like a child. Verses 20 to 27. Now, in verses 20 to 24, we find Jesus denouncing the towns of Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum. They're a cluster of towns in the north of Israel in the region of Galilee. They would have been effectively Jesus' stomping ground when he was growing up. And despite his miracles and teaching there, proclaiming God's salvation in these towns, they refused to repent. They refused to welcome him, to receive him. Look at verse 20. Jesus began to denounce the towns in which most of his miracles had been performed because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it'll be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted to the heavens? No, you will go down to Hades. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. But I tell you that it will be more bearable for Sodom on the day of judgment than for you. Jesus says, woe to you. Now, woe does mean denounce, but it means more than that. It means to denounce with pain, with heartache. And the comparison that Jesus makes with these cities, Tyre, Sidon, and Sodom, is significant. Tyre and Sidon, as are mentioned a number of times in the Old Testament, they were pagan cities opposed to Israel. They would have been regarded as the enemies of God. Yet Jesus is making the point that even they would have repented had they received the same revelation of God's salvation in Jesus as they had. Sodom was another ancient city in the time of Abraham, known for its depravity and wickedness. Even Sodom would have repented, said Jesus. But not you. Hard hearts. They rejected the revelation of God's salvation in Jesus. But what's the reason for their hardness of heart? Well, Jesus gives us an insight. Look at verse 25 to 26. He contrasts their hardness of heart with the heart that loves God, that receives his salvation. The comparison here is between the wise and the learned, those who think they know best, the proud and the self-sufficient. They are contrasted with those who are little children, those whose hearts are soft toward God, who are humble. Jesus said, verse 25, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for that is what you were pleased to do. It's the humble ones who have received Jesus, while the proud and the self-sufficient, the cynical, reject him. They're still carrying their burdens. It's interesting, isn't it, that when you read this through, it's interesting how people respond to Jesus. And even as you think about in your own circles, your own spheres of friendship and colleagues, we need to see here that the way people respond to Jesus reveals them. Jesus is like a mirror to our very souls. What do I mean? You see, Jesus is perfection in every way. He is the fullness of God in human form, the scripture says. He is truth. He is justice. He is righteousness. He is peace. He is love. Scripture says we were created for him. We're made to be one with him. And so to reject him reveals something with us. It reveals our own hearts. It's like a mirror. It reveals our pride, our self-righteousness, our cynicism, our sense of entitlement. And this leads to a profound statement there in verse 27, where Jesus says that only he can reveal God to us. He says, verse 27, all things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. As I mentioned a moment ago, Jesus is the fullness of God in human form. He is God with us. Therefore, only Jesus can truly reveal God to us. Only Jesus can bring us into relationship with God so that we can know him as Father. To receive the revelation of God's salvation is to receive Jesus. People can know lots about God without receiving Jesus. Absolutely. But no one can know God without Jesus. Jesus brings us into relationship with God, and only he can. Hardness of heart is a function of pride and self-sufficiency. Softness of heart is a function of humility, like children, Jesus says. So what have we seen so far? Following Jesus is easy when we will lay down our cynicism and our entitlement. When we will lay down our pride and self-sufficiency and we will receive Jesus in humility like a child. Now, sometimes people get a bit confused or hung up on the fact that Jesus chooses those whom he reveals God to. So the question is, well, who does Jesus choose, right? Who does the Son choose? Well, look at verse 28. He tells you, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. All who are weary and burdened. All who are restless. And that's the third point. Will you recognize your spiritual restlessness? It's very significant that Jesus uses that word rest. In Hebrew thinking and the New Testament, rest doesn't mean inactivity. Rest is a deeply theological word. Rest in Hebrew is Shabbat or Sabbath. The first time we come across this word is in Genesis chapter 2, at the climax of God's creation on the seventh day. The very purpose of all creation comes to this climactic moment. Rest, when all of creation is in communion with God and in fellowship with one another. There is no sin. What is that called? Rest, says the scriptures. God's will is being done. The purpose of all creation is being realized. It was sin that disrupted the rest. Sin is humanity saying, "My will be done." And Cain is described as being a restless wanderer on the earth. And so it's very significant when Jesus takes this word to his lips and says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, restless, and I will give you rest. I will give you peace with God. I will bring you into communion with God and his people. I will give you your purpose in life. Come to me, I'll give you rest." This is what you're created for. This is why Jesus says, "Take my burden upon you. Learn from me. I'm gentle and humble in heart." In other words, follow me. Listen to me. I will lead you into everlasting life, rest for your soul. This is the burden I give. Right? How light is that? Everlasting life. Now, a yoke is a wooden cross piece that bound two animals together. And it served to guide them. It was uncomfortable for the animals, but it trained them to work together. It was difficult for them, but effective. Jesus says, "Join yourself to me. Listen to my teaching. Allow me to train and guide you. Follow me. My yoke is easy." You see, Jesus' commands are only ever for our good. And so Jesus can say that following him is easy because it's freedom from the tyranny and the burden of cynicism and entitlement. It's freedom from the burden of pride and self-sufficiency. It's freedom from the burden of despair because of restlessness. Jesus is magnificent. He is the Savior. And this is the rest he gives us. This is the peace and the joy of our salvation. Now, when we become Christian, when we receive Jesus for who he truly is, we are born again, he says. We receive God's Spirit. God's life and love are born within us and begin to transform us from the inside out. But it is a journey, folks. It's a journey. We learn to follow Jesus. In Lent this year, we talked about the disciplines of grace, right? We talked about how we are to respond to God's grace by committing ourselves to following and to learning, which does take effort. We learn to follow Jesus. Make every effort, the scripture says, to work out your salvation, to be holy as I am holy, says the Lord. And we all know, if we've been following Jesus for any length of time, that there are ups and downs, right? There are times when things are wonderful and we're on mountaintops and we're rejoicing and praising God. And there are times when we can feel like we're in the darkness of valleys. And sometimes a lot of those tough times are because of stuff that happens outside of us that we've got no control over. And it can be very, very difficult. But we know deep down that these are really opportunities to grow in faith. We know deep down that these are moments where God is especially near. When we are longing and yearning for him, it's because he's so near. And he's going to shepherd us and walk us through. We know that deep down. So sometimes things come to us from the outside and can be very challenging. But we also know a lot of the time there's stuff that's coming from the inside. When other things capture our affections more than God, when our hearts are divided, when there is idolatry, we stop making other things more important than God, when there's unbelief and there's sin, and when temptation is allowed to live within us and we give it more and more air. These things rob us of the joy of our salvation because they attack the very fountain of our hope. And perhaps that is you this morning. Perhaps that's a bit of your frustration a bit of your struggle. Perhaps for you, that's why your joy is just a flicker. And the rest that Jesus promises seems like a mist. So let me ask us a few questions as I close this morning, as we consider our own walk with Jesus and what we've been learning here today. Here's the first one. Could it be for you perhaps today that cynicism and entitlement are robbing you of the joy of your salvation? You know God, you know Jesus, you know he loves you, but that closeness that you so desperately want, the fullness of the Spirit that you want, that keeping in step with the Spirit that you want, that vital prayer life that you want, just seems so elusive. Perhaps for you, it's cynicism and entitlement that's robbing you of that. What do I mean by cynicism? Well, cynicism, remember, is always assuming the worst of others and perhaps even the worst of God. Maybe there's been temptations to doubt God's goodness towards you. Maybe there have been temptations that you've entertained where you've thought, oh, has God forgotten about me? Does he even care at all? And as you assume the worst of God, perhaps you're assuming the worst of others as well. And fear is growing up inside of you more and more, robbing you of that peace that he wants to give. Maybe it's cynicism, perhaps it's entitlement that's robbing you this morning. A sense where, you know, it's like, God, no, this is how it should be. Why isn't it going that way? And then there's frustration. Sense of entitlement. I'll decide. I will play the tune that you dance to, God. Is there something like that perhaps going on? Because the degree to which that's living inside us, it will rob us of the rest and the joy of our salvation that Jesus wants us to have. These are burdens. Can you see? They tempt us to think that it's the way of freedom. We're working things out, you know, protecting ourselves from all the bad out there. What are we doing? We're trying to self-save. We've become proud, self-sufficient. These are the burdens that pull us down. Jesus is saying, come and take on my burden. Everlasting life. Listen to me. Trust me. Maybe for you, you've forgotten how to be humble before the Lord, how to be like a child. One of the great things in the Christian life is we commit ourselves to growing in the knowledge of God, right? We study the scriptures. We spend time in life groups and study groups. We read. We want to grow in the knowledge of God, and that's absolutely right, and we must. It's part of the maturing process to learn about the one whom we have entrusted ourselves to. And as we grow in knowing his character and his ways, we grow in faith and we grow absolutely. But there's a dark side to that. The other side of the knowledge of God is that we become proud. We can become self-sufficient. We become thinking, I've got all the answers. I've studied the books. I know how God does things. I know. And we try to put ourselves. And we forget what it's like to be like children before the Lord. We forget what it's like to be humble. And then we wonder why the rest isn't there. We wonder why the joy of our salvation is decreasing more and more. Maybe that's a word for you this morning. Have you forgotten what it is to be humble before the Lord like a child? Will you lay down that burden of pride and self-sufficiency? And then finally, maybe for you, perhaps it's the restlessness that's going on in your heart. The sense of striving for God's approval. Striving, you know, to try and be a good person in order for God to love me more. I'm always unsure. So I'm taking this into my own hands, you say. Unconsciously, of course. You never say that out loud. But unconsciously. Because it seems counterintuitive, I know. The way of strength in the love of God is the way of weakness. Humility, right? But our heart doesn't think like that. Our heart wants to go the other way. We want to have confidence and strength in the Lord, so we think it's up to me. I need to strive to be better and be a good person and do the right thing and strive for God's approval. And then we wonder why we're carrying this burden and it's robbing us of joy. Maybe for you this morning, you need to lay down that burden of needing to try and get God's approval. The truth is, the miracle of the gospel is that we already have it. Nothing we can do can make God love us more, and nothing we can do can make God love us less. In Christ, we are clothed with his righteousness, and we are approved and welcomed. We are children of God. The call for you and I is to live into that reality. Open our eyes to that truth. And as we do that, that humbling that comes as a result becomes the soil from which our lives can fruit into beautiful righteousness. But it's not a righteousness that's striving. It's not a goodness and a kind of a way of living that's trying to earn approval. It comes out of having accepted that I'm approved and having accepted that I'm loved. And that there's nothing I can do to try and make God love me more. When I finally come to that place, like a child, Jesus says, I keep coming back to that because I sense as Jesus keeps hitting on that one. There's something about that which we need to really get a hold of. That total trust, total humility. Children don't know what they're good at yet. They're not trying to earn mom and dad's approval when they're so small. They just know they're loved. It just goes, mom, dad, hands up. What did mom and dad do? Come to me, says Jesus. I will give you rest. My burden is light. My yoke is easy. I'm just going to read, I'll just close with these, this translation from the Message Bible, which I think is quite profound, verses 28 to 30. It says this, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for how you not only speak the truth, Lord, but you speak to the deepest parts of our humanity, the deepest parts of who we are, Lord, that so desperately needs your life-giving water and bread. And so, Lord, we open our hearts to you now. Lord, we recognize that we need you. Lord, help us to lay down the burdens of cynicism and entitlement. Help us to lay down the burden, Lord, of that sense of pride and self-sufficiency. Lord, help us to lay down that burden of restlessness, always striving. Help us to lay it down, Lord, and take up your yoke, take up your burden, which is freedom. Holy Spirit, come. Bring your revelation to our hearts today. Show us where those idols are. Show us where the pride is. Show us, Lord, where that sense of entitlement, whatever it is, and Lord, we pray, bring your healing to us so that we can live whole and for your glory. Amen.